Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Appreciate you being here. Tough loss. Guys fought and battled, but didn't do enough to win the game. Didn't do the winning things that we needed to do to win the game. Made plays, but not enough. And made some mistakes that cost us. And everybody's disappointed, you know. Everybody's hurt because he works so hard. I mean, this is a team that fights. You know, this team that works. This team that prepares. This team is a confident team that wants to do well. Got a bunch of, you know, really strong men in there that do that. And so, you know, it's disappointing to them. They're more disappointed than anybody. All of us are. That's how it is. So we're all disappointed. But that doesn't mean it just means you got to come back. You don't get what you want all the time in life, even if you work for it. But you got to earn it. You know, you got to earn it by doing the things that are required. And we have not done a good enough job of that.
Well, they've earned something, that's for sure. That's John Harbaugh, who eventually spoke to the media last night after they blew an 11-point fourth-quarter lead, lose to the Patriots 28-24, and they fight, and they do scratch, and they crawl, and they lose. That's their 15th blown fourth-quarter lead since 2020. That's the most in football. And Bone's got some stats. Double-digit leads blown in the fourth quarter, leads blown in the second half. They lead all of the NFL in these categories.
Well, they're the worst fourth quarter defense in the NFL since 2021. So how many? That's three coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some common denominators there. The GM, who sucks. Like I mean, you guys can tell me how he should stay and Harbaugh should go. No, these two should be joined at the hip. If you're starting over, get them all out of here. Like, he doesn't know how to build a winning defense. He doesn't appreciate pass rush. He doesn't pay for it. He sucks at drafting it. And somehow Owe leaves the building and is immediately a difference maker over there. Aloe Gilman is the fourth best safety on this team, maybe. He's not a good football player. He had no future with the Chargers. Like, what's going on? Like, are you kidding me? It's a garbage product. They're 3-6 at home. They played 10 games this season against what I would dub to be real quarterbacks. They're 2-8. They beat Caleb Williams in like his second road game with Ben Johnson. Caleb Williams would light their ass on fire right now. And they beat Joe Burrow on a day where he was trying to get out of Cincinnati and didn't want to play football.
Played well yesterday.
Like, nah, this isn't about fight. This is the big leagues. You got a coach who, we played the hell out of it before the season started because I thought they're probably frauds, who wouldn't admit that it's Super Bowl or bust. They play word games. You had a GM who, while the Bills are out signing Josh Allen, says he doesn't have much to do this offseason. We're going to sell out to get Lamar here long term. Not let's go and actually try to use free agency as a weapon. Let's try to next offseason might be a big deal, but I'm watching safeties on film. Okay. Like, you got an owner who hasn't opened his mouth publicly to talk about his football product in, I don't know, 6-7 years, who did it one time, called four people at a league meeting, in part because he wanted a rail on the Browns for signing Watson. He berated his quarterback, right? Said his quarterback doesn't think he deserves my money. Said, give me the lease I want. You can look all this up. Give me the lease I want or I'm selling the team. He then went on Marlins podcast and said, I'm not keeping the team in my family. At some point, I'm going to sell it. Dick Cash leaves. There's no press conference. There's no explanation. He hires the worst general manager in NFL history to now lead his football team in that office. Every day, the buck stops with Sashi because Steve's on his boat. Steve doesn't hold people accountable publicly. No one has any idea what he's thinking outside of an inner core. He shows up to games but isn't in the building, and they're run like a team that has an absentee landlord. The GM literally told you before the offseason started, we're good. Don't have much to do. How about the chef's kiss of signing Andrews when you didn't have to? How's that working out for him and Likely? I mean,
Likely hadn't called
they
ball
piss away
weeks.
The offseason. They piss away the trade deadline. They sign people when they do stupid things, like have one-day holdouts like Bateman, and they put the gun to their head, and then they get them to sign on the cheap. They don't explore anybody else's outside free agency. The coach talks to you like you've never seen football before, like you are morons who don't know what you're watching. We just did it again last week when he tried to tell you, home field, schmome field. What's it matter? Well, it certainly didn't matter to you in the fourth quarter. But the defense has been broken in the fourth quarter since 2021. You can take it back to Wink. Since 2022, they've allowed 8 more passing touchdowns in the fourth quarter than any other team in the NFL. It wasn't a good fourth quarter defense with McDonald, who had the secret sauce. Was Zach Gore ready to be a D coordinator? Hell no. Has Harbs lost his fastball? Probably. Is the GM over his head? Yeah. Was anybody else in the NFL hiring Sashi Brown as their team president? Get the F out of here. It's the same mooks mooking it up year after year after year. Even Monk. I love Monk. Abject failure. It was Kansas City championship game 2.0.
That was one game where the defense did their job.
Their culture is warped.
But even then, you can say Kansas City. John can talk to Monk in the head.
It's on John.
Trust me. The buck stops with John.
He's the head coach.
But hey, why isn't Henry in the game?
Yeah.
But the reality is, this is an organizational failure of a season across the board. Coaching staff, front office, personnel. They were the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. And now, more than likely, a hell of a lot more likely than not, their game in Week 18 is going to be meaningless. And not because they can rest their starters for the playoff game, because their season's over. And their season ended how it began.
Yep.
You had a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter, and things were looking up, and you had over a 90% chance to win that football game. And then you just tripped over your own feet. And the defense, guys, like Drake May, career high numbers in completions, in yards, just tearing you up. And we're talking all last week how, they don't really have a ton of standout guy.
Apologies, Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs turned back the clock
on him. He destroyed them last night.
Had his second.
The defense is garbage.
Well, yeah.
I told you all year, they only time they play anybody real, they get eviscerated.
Had his second best game of the season. The only game that topped it was the game in Buffalo where they beat the Bills. But your defense couldn't get a stop. Zay Flowers fumbles again.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry fumbles
at the beginning.
Well, that's his
really
first fumble since week 3.
But he's talking Buffalo. Yeah. There's a lot of correlation.
It's just missteps after. And now they've lost fumbles in the fourth quarter in 4 of their losses.
Yeah.
They're tied with Seattle for most fumbles lost all year long. And that was their 6th loss at home, which is a franchise.
It's an embarrassment. It's an absolute embarrassment. And last night was just a freaking microcosm of their whole entire season. The self-inflicted wounds, the fumbles, the mistakes, the injuries.
Lamar hurt again.
Yeah, Lamar, man, he could hardly walk in the locker room after the game. I don't think we're seeing him on a football field again. The coaching errors. Just everything that you could do when you get hit that fork in the road and there's the right decision on the left side and the wrong decision on the right side, they're going right every time. They're going to make the wrong decision. And even when they did stuff right, they would do stuff wrong in the process. Like the one drive, they scored a touchdown. They had 2 false starts on that drive.
Offensive line.
Like it's incredible to me. And it seems like they'll come at, like last night, for example, kind of like Buffalo, but not as much. They come out like a house of fire. They go right down the field and score. They're going right down the field again, and Henry fumbles. And it derails the whole first half. They're never right again the rest of the first half. So, like, they're getting their just desserts.
Yes, they are.
This is who they are. This is not the football gods. They're not good.
They're a bad team.
They're not good. And you know what? They're going to have some soul searching this offseason because I don't think they're winning another game this year. And they're going to have to reevaluate how they do everything.
But do you really think they're going to do that?
I think that. So here's what I think. I don't think Steve's going to talk to us But I know that Steve talks to everybody at the end of the season, whether it's on the boat or in Jupiter or whatever, or the planet Jupiter. I don't think the coaching staff is back. I do think Eric's back, but I think he's going to get lit into by Steve. And I think Steve's going to fire this head coach. I also think Steve's going to have a huge hand in hiring the next one. That said, can Eric change the way he evaluates? I don't know. He's been doing it this way for a long time. Like, this is what he does. This is who he is.
You can't continue to invest as heavily.
They have the worst fourth quarter defensive EPA by far since 2021. Right. Minus 137.61. Worse than Cincinnati. Worse than Washington. Like, 43 passing touchdowns allowed in their last 66 fourth quarters. You know what that equates to? 16 games. That's 43 passing touchdowns.
That's a season.
Yeah, that's 8 more than anybody else in the league.
Do you know what was a chef's kiss last night? Marlon Humphrey tackles Booty on the 5-yard line way before the ball gets there. They don't call it. You get this gift. What happens? They score anyway.
But that's the issue, guys. Like, it's the inevitability where they have the ball at the 11-yard line and they're trailing by 3. Did anyone think they were going to close that game out?
Well, my question, I turned to you. I said it's all a question whether it's a touchdown or a field goal.
They weren't going to end it in regulation at that point. It was the inevitability that New England's going to go down and
score. If you think this is what it looks like to be a cutthroat, live or die with every decision, pound the margins, do anything we can to get incrementally better as a roster, day in, day out, through the entire offseason – dude, you don't see guys coming in here Tuesdays for workouts. Like, it blows my mind what they get away with. And nobody calls them out on it. And I call them out on it in real time. And I'm being negative. I'm being real. I've covered the league for 20 years. I know how real teams operate. That when you abstain from free agency and hoard comp picks, when you refuse to invest in pass rushers and only get DBs, a lot of them tiny, none of them will make plays on the ball, including newly crowned $25 million Kyle Hamilton. When you pay an out-of-shape linebacker $20 million a year and no one has to run on you because they can just throw on you, including that linebacker, all day long, every real quarterback, since Andy Reid started doing it the first game last year. And their response is, not much to do this offseason. They're telling you how complacent they couldn't be flaunting it in your face more. And you sit out there for 4 hours and you watch this and they tell you home field doesn't matter. And then, boy, they go and back it up in the fourth quarter the way they've been backing up in the fourth quarter since Wink was still the scapegoat. Bro, the Wizard is the GM. If he gets fired, I'd be real interested to see where he lands, how much power he has.
Man, we got a lot to talk about.
Ortiz ripped him off. They had Ortiz here. He goes to the Chargers, rips him off at the trade deadline. Rips his ass off.
Always got Aloe 7 sacks.
Aloe Gilman, stop it.
Always got 7 sacks.
Dude, this is what... Fire Harbaugh. Go ahead. Fire him. They all should go. Make sure you blow up that front office, too.
Massive Monday show as the Ravens season is basically over. Mathematically, they're still alive, but they need the Browns to beat the Steelers and the Ravens to win in Green Bay. Alas, we have a big show today, and we will talk all about this situation from today, from last night and early this morning. Guest-wise, it's the usual Monday guest, Jonah Schaefer, IA Hall of Famer, Baltimore Banner, covers the Ravens. He was there last night. We had his thoughts on what he saw. And Cordell Woodland got a fan perspective of the game last night. He was there. Ask him how that was for him and what he thought of the Ravens' collapse. He joins us at 5.
How did the Steelers do yesterday?
They
because I remember you guys were saying Omar Khan should be fired. But it's interesting. No one but me will call out
it's funny.
BS
that's not
that
what
goes
we said.
On here.
That's not what we said. We said if they miss
the playoffs, they gotta be gone. What's happening here?
But they're gonna make the playoffs.
Right.
So that
no,
but
no,
so
no.
But when stop. Mook said he should be fired. No, we said he should be fired
if they make the playoffs.
If they miss the playoffs, they're gonna make the playoffs.
So should Eric DaCosta be fired?
No.
Oh, there you go. That's exactly it. You fell into my trap. You fucked up. That's why I brought it up.
But Jason, who's accomplished more as a GM?
Yeah, the Steelers.
What's he accomplished?
Yeah. Mike Marcon hasn't won a playoff game.
What has Eric DaCosta won?
He went to an AFC title game. He's done more than Omar.
He's won a couple playoff games.
Omar hasn't won. Oh, they're giving him extensions for doing nothing. They give a 3-year contract extension for doing nothing.
Yeah, it's not a
what
trap.
What is this guy? Does Omar have Lamar Jackson?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He's the mook that brings in Aaron Rodgers.
You told me it's the best roster. It's a joke roster. It's a joke roster.
It was an overrated roster.
It was.
They went to the AFC title game two years ago. It was a Jair Alexander's a joke. We're watching Snoop, who couldn't cut it with the Browns, because Cooper Rush sucks.
Dude, they signed a $2 million corner, and they cut him. Darius Slay's 35 years old.
So, yeah, Omar should be fired if they miss the playoffs.
But they're going to make the playoffs.
You're right.
Yeah, they're going to win the
And these mooks aren't.
But he's never won a playoff game.
But let this guy pick a coach. Let him do it.
He's not going to pick it. Steve's going to pick it.
Okay.
Steve's going to pick the coach.
All right.
Steve picked Harbaugh.
Okay, long time ago.
He's gonna
franchise wasn't worth $6 billion then. Yeah. Steve wasn't living on the yacht then. Steve still talked to the media then. Steve still held people accountable then. That's Dick Cass, not Sashi Brown. Steve picked the coach. I think Dick Cass picked the coach.
Coming up next, we need to talk about the other thing that happened. Well, there's a lot of things. We still haven't gotten to Derrick Henry of it all. But Lamar got hurt again. Lamar's injury and what's it mean next here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My knee was good. My legs felt great tonight. I just got kneed in the back in the red zone. Just couldn't finish the game. I was trying. I tore it all sharp and stuff like that, but still ain't getting no better.
Lamar Jackson speaking after the game last night in the locker room. He initially declined speaking, but then decided to talk. Said he did try to throw in the locker room at halftime and just couldn't get it done. Was moving with a lot of pain in the locker room. Expressed a lot of frustration. So let me start with the good news. I thought he saw the field last night better than I'd seen him see the field in a long time. Like, the throws were accurate. He was extending plays, hitting receivers. But then, of course, he gets the knee to the back, and he's done probably, in my opinion, for the season.
I didn't feel like his quickness was...
No, he couldn't move.
He looked better against Cincinnati
moving
than this
game. Yes, but
which I really couldn't figure out because...
They didn't even play that much in Cincinnati.
12 pass attempts.
To that point, he couldn't outrun Le'Veon Chase on to the corner on one play, which surprised me.
And it's also, like, I don't want to read too much into the broadcast and the meetings, but we had a week ago, and we had a DD on the show, him gushing before and after the game, including after the game when she talked to him about how great he felt. And then early in this game, you know, Collinsworth, well, you know, he's nowhere really like himself. Like he doesn't know when he's going to be himself. I'm like, well, what the hell happened? Like, he missed a day because he was sick.
Yeah.
I'll just go back to what I've been saying all along. I think there's a lot about this situation we don't know. Maybe we'll find out more. Maybe we won't. But I'm sitting there in the first quarter thinking, he looks like he looked. It almost kind of reminded me of the Miami. I'm like, he looks like he doesn't trust himself, doesn't feel loose, doesn't look limber. Like, he looks like he's laboring. I kept writing in my notes, he looks like he's laboring.
But he threw the ball well.
He had the one about his movement.
Yeah.
He had the one play in the pocket, movement in the pocket where he's extending. I think it was a 3rd and 2 where he hit Zay over the middle of the field where I was like, okay, that looks like Lamar. But the two rush attempts, you're right. Yeah. He just couldn't get no
to They were doing that thing they do where they boot him out right or they boot him left and he throws across his body. Like he looked good doing that.
Yes.
But that's like scripted thing. Yes. When he had to go into like fight or flight mode, I'm like, he looks like he's banged up again.
They flashed that graphic last night, the next gen, where it was 15.52 miles per hour on his rushing attempts before the injury. Since returning in week 9, 11.95. That's a drop of 3.5 miles per hour. That's significant. That is a significant drop off.
Yeah, it was, and you're right. You're absolutely right. Physically, like, he didn't look right.
Like, it was back to, he doesn't think he can move again.
But I was confused, and like, that's the best I've seen him throw since Miami. Like, and you're sitting, they got us in the end zone now. So, like, when he's going to the other end zone, you can watch him. He was seeing the field better than I've seen him see the field in a while, but he couldn't run. And then, of course, you know, he's got no juice to run. Like, they tried running him a couple times, and he just had nothing.
But it's still all middle of the field to Zay.
Yes.
I mean, it's crossers. Oh, totally. It's all middle of the field to Zay. And what happens when you got a wee little guy built like that who's always in the middle of the field?
He's going to get popped.
He's going to turn the ball over.
Yep.
And he can't win for you on the outside. But go ahead and pay him like a number one receiver because you want to make yourself look good because you drafted him.
They got D-Hop the ball more.
They did.
Four times.
He did some great stuff on the sidelines. But like we're back to looking at a team. The construction of this team is a paramount problem. As to Lamar of it all, I don't think he's playing again this year. Uh-uh. I'm not messing around with a back, a spine, a rib. Whatever this really, really, really at its core is, when you see him wince like that and you see him struggle to get up like that and you see him labor to walk to the sidelines like that and then you see him really labor to walk under the tunnel like that, like we're lights out.
And by the way, Tim and I can tell you, he was laboring walking around the lot like to put socks on he was laboring.
And I was shocked that he even talked.
And he told us, you heard it in the cut, he took a tortoise shot.
Yeah.
Look, Snoop is Snoop. Snoop's fine. I mean, Snoop can run the offense. Yeah. Like, I don't have a problem. Like, look, this is twice he's had to play. He's looked way better than I thought he would.
Way better.
Way better than what was going on with Cooper Rush. But let's be real. The goal, the point was to upgrade off of Snoop and Josh Johnson. And we're back to Snoop.
What's old is Snoop. You know what else we're back to? I want to get this in real quick. We're back to Lamar and Rashad Bateman not being on the same page again. Yeah. How about that? Like he goes to throw an out, and Bateman's like, I'm like, are we back to 2023 again?
You want to know what it is? It's we're back to the Hollywood and Andrews, only without the Andrews. It's Zay is Hollywood, who's actually good Hollywood.
It's Zay and Prey.
And that's the whole offense.
It's Zay and Prey.
And then the occasional third down, throw a 50-50 ball to D-Hop and see if he can keep a drive alive. Mm. That is the scope of their passing game. We're back to an offensive coordinator who can't get out of his own way. We're back to a head coach who looks like he got ran over by a train. Am I in control of this team or not? Am I the conductor or am I hanging on for dear life? I don't know. In the meantime, let's take a guy who's averaging 7 yards a carry when he runs with Ricard on the field and completely let's take that element away once we get up 11. Like, it's gross mismanagement. It's gross mismanagement all the way across the board.
I know we're getting to it at the top of the hour, but that was arguably Henry's best game of the season last night. Like, maybe you could say Buffalo. And Buffalo, he had the fumble there too, but the two. Only 4 of his 18 carries went for 3 yards or less, and he didn't even break
He was getting 5 yards a pop with Huntley.
Henry and like Ricard on the field together. 17 carries, 121 yards, 7.1 per carry, 2 touchdowns, 2.82 yards before contact, and they stopped it. They systematically abstained from it once they got up 11 with a joke-ass defense that 70,000 people in the stands knew was a joke-ass defense, that Silent Steve had to know was a joke-ass defense, that Pagano had to know was a joke-ass defense, that Orr had to know was a joke-ass defense. That's what the offense did to contribute to the collapse. Let's take the one superpower we have.
Rotation,
on the edge. You could pitch it left tackle, run off left tackle with Ricard on that side of the field whenever you wanted to for 7 to 40 yards. Let's stop doing it.
Respectfully, Jason, it was Keaton's turn. There's a rotation. It was Keaton's turn. And if the book says it's Keaton's turn, you can't adjust on the fly to that. It's Keaton's turn.
Well, it's their turn to watch the playoffs on TV.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
It is.
Coming up next, Ravens lose 28-24. It's our six-pack of defensive observations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Next here on The Fan. Six-pack time. Six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come and try the Good Feet filling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. It's the six-pack of Ravens defensive observations in the 28-24 loss to the Patriots. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
With all the trash that occurred last night, especially in the second half, I do want to mention that might have been the best game of Trenton Simpson's career. Trenton Simpson had six solo tackles. He had a sack. He had two tackles for loss. That's the best I've ever seen him play as an NFL football player. So I put that at six because the rest is going to be destroying them.
They skull F this trade deadline pretty good. Our Darius Washington is such a better football player than Aloe Gilman. It ain't even close. Aloe Gilman got thrown on six times in that game. 5 of 6 for 83 yards. 3 passes of 20 yards or more throwing at Gilman. They just avoided Starks and threw at him. And if Marlon was on that side too, all the better. The Henderson goes down. They lose their best screen element. So throw it to Stevenson and let him make Aloe Gilman.
He did
like
make
he
a miss. Yep.
Space.
Yep.
Like don't believe the hype. This was enough. They gave away a guy who got 10 sacks. I don't like Owe. I would have never traded him in a million years for a safety that had no future in the place he was in. Who was a fifth or sixth round pick for a reason. Who's not a ball hawk.
Got a pick.
Who's
too,
not
Jason.
A playmaker. Who. Is it good in coverage? Like, stop. Stop. And our Darius got hurt so long ago.
May.
I mean, you look at the tempo he brings. You look at the physicality he brings. You look at him when they bring him on a blitz versus Gilman when they bring him on a blitz. Like, of all the moves you could have made to try to get better, on a night where this kid holds the ball for 3.5 seconds and still destroys you, This is what he did? Sunglasses at night. This is it. Fire his ass.
Number five.
So they build a team with nothing but defensive backs. And Drake May played his backside off, but my God, did he make a lot of cross-body, cross-field, sideline throws. And I counted at least six that were late or were behind the guy where the DB had a chance to make a play on the ball, including one that wasn't all the way to the sidelines, but was across his body to the slot on the final drive where Wiggins couldn't catch the ball. How can you invest all your assets in DBs and none of them, including Kyle Hamilton, superstar of super, none of them ever, except for, oddly enough, Marlon in December, pick the ball off? What are we doing scouting DBs when we got pass rushers who can't get home until they leave here? And we got DBs who cannot catch the football. This guy was dying to throw a sideline pick. My God, he should have thrown probably three of them. And they came away with none because they never come away with them.
My five is Ardarius Washington, who, yes, he was making impacts on the field, but man, oh man, the same reason he wasn't drafted, his height, if he was just 5'11", he gets a hand on that fourth down play. He jumped the route, tried to dive. He tried to prevent Stephon Diggs from catching it, 4th and 2. But his size it cost him in that play, and Stephon Diggs gets the first down. They end up going down and winning the game.
Number four.
Would you care to guess how many 300-yard passing games Drake May had as a pro going into last night?
The same amount as all of us combined. Yeah.
He threw for 380 last night.
He threw for two-something in the fourth quarter.
Drake May is an MVP candidate, But Drake May hadn't done that before. And again, another example. Drake May cooked this defense.
Who are the highest paid players on this defense now that Matabike's hurt?
Roquan, Hamilton, and Marlon?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Three Stooges joke in there. Something like, bro, I'm sorry. I need to hear that Kyle Hamilton is like, I need to hear something's really, really wrong. Like,
well, shut he can hardly
down,
move.
Shut him down and get him whatever he needs to get. But like, the way your defense is built, if those guys are all liabilities, it's over. You got no chance. And I got news for you. Roquan's been a liability since you paid him. And you ran to pay him off of 8 games with McDonald that we've never seen again. You can go find an 8-game stretch of Kyle Hamilton doing one thing with McDonald. I defy you to find 4, let alone 8 games outside of it, where it looks like that. It ain't even been close. And Marlon's another guy. They keep him around because the GM really likes him. He's in the circle of trust. You can get him on the cheap. Well, you've paid him a lot of money over the years. And I know he balled out last year, but everybody who had their last great season last year, you fell for it. But those three, oof.
Yeah, I'll go with Jason. He's got similar top threes, but they all got to be better. And I was concerned Marlon was going to get beat over the top. He did. Gave up that touchdown repeatedly. Had the interception in the red zone. Yeah. But
Booty gave up on the ball.
Oh, he totally gave up on the ball. You invest all your resources on the defensive side of the football in your DBs. You can't give up nearly 400 yards at home in a game you have to have. And look, the pass rush, it was sort of feast or famine. They hit May a lot. They did get some sacks. But he was still completing passes, like times where he's in the grasp. And like, you can't invest all your resources in the DBs and get roasted like that.
So, 6-pack of defensive observations at Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number 3.
Stephon Diggs revenge game, I guess. Yeah, I mean, he's a local guy. They passed on him a bunch.
Killed him.
9 catches on 10 targets for 138 yards.
Killed him.
How do you let Stephon Diggs, who's like an 8 to 10 yard move the chain guy, average 15 yards a catch on that kind of volume? 10 freaking targets. 5 different Patriots had a passing reception of 20 yards or more.
Matt Collins was
this
cooking.
Is supposed to be the strength, the best secondary in the league on one of the best rosters in recent NFL history. How can it be? And you know who didn't have a 20-yard pass play? Henderson, because he barely played in the game, but I got news for you. If he didn't get hurt, he would have.
Yeah, we're simpatico. Apologies. I said all last week that the Patriots didn't have a receiver that was worthy of any attention. And Stephon Diggs, 9 catches, as Jason said, for 138
Turn back
yards.
The clock.
He was damn good last night.
Number 2.
Two is Marlon got cooked all night long. Now, he had the pick early, but Booty gave up on the ball, and he basically threw it right to Marlon. He got cooked, and he tackled a guy at the 5-yard line and was fortunate and called for a PI because that would have been another bad play for Marlon Humphrey. He was awful. And he gets turnovers now and then, but he has not been good all year long.
You don't win in this league against good quarterbacks without pass rushers. They sacked him 4 times. There's 4 credited sacks. One is on a direct snap to a position player. One is a sack basically at the line of scrimmage where he broke free. He was able to complete crosshair after crosshair after crosshair to guys who are not fast because he could hold the ball for literally 3.37 seconds was his time to throw. When guys hold the ball for 3.4 seconds in this league, they're supposed to be on their ass, not throwing for 400 yards against you, not leading an 11-point comeback. It's a joke. And even the pressure, he had almost 3 seconds, 2.91 time to pressure. When they did get pressure, they had to sell out to do it because they don't have any pass rushers. They might appreciate them. They don't identify them. They don't develop them. They don't cultivate them. And they don't pay them. So against real quarterbacks this year, let's throw Caleb in there because he's going to the playoffs just like this kid's going to the playoffs. In the 8 games against real quarterbacks, they're 10 games. They are 2-8. 67% completion percentage, 17 touchdowns to 4 picks, 266 yards per game, a QB rating over 100, 15 sacks on 404 dropbacks, 3.7%. How about the 3rd and 12s and 3rd and 13s when he had forever to get plays done? And I'll say this, the kid to me had fear in his eyes early in the game. This thing was steamrolling in a bad way, and I'm like, he looks jittery. He started throwing the outside balls they could jump, telegraphing some of the sideline throws. I thought if they had a real pass rush, they could have got to this kid, and they could have made this game over at the half. But instead, they let him get hot. They couldn't get to him unless selling out to do it, and they got exposed again by a good quarterback, which is all this defense does.
Number one.
It's the worst fourth quarter defense in the NFL since 2021. I mean, it's three defensive coordinators. So, I mean, look, Orr should definitely be fired. Yeah. He shouldn't have got the job in the first place. We said that in real time. But, like, the fourth quarter collapses are unbelievable. Let's just take it back to McDonald. Let's leave Wink out of it. Since 2022, they are 31st in the NFL, allowing 5.4 yards per play in the fourth quarter. They're 26th in opposer passer rating in the fourth quarter. They are 22nd in interceptions per attempt. 43 passing touchdowns since 2022 in the fourth quarter. Nobody else in the league has allowed more than 36. They have the worst EPA in the fourth quarter by far in the NFL since 2022. 489 points allowed in the fourth quarter since 2022, 30th in the NFL. So that's 66 quarters, Bone, which equates basically to 16 games. So in the span of 16 games over fourth quarter since 2022, they're allowing 31 points per game. Because 489 divided by 60, they're allowing 31 points per game over the span of 4 years with two different coordinators, one who got a head coaching job and is doing a really good job with it. But you're telling me it's not the players. Okay.
The defense stinks. And as Jason pointed out, they got some sacks, but they gave Drake May way too much time to throw when it mattered. And there were too many third and longs that were converted. It was a disaster.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
It's in their DNA, guys. Like, they just wilt in the fourth quarter. Facts are facts. This isn't even opinion at this point. It predates all these different coordinators, some of these different players. Hamilton's been here through a lot of it. Okay, you bring in Roquan, you stabilize. Roquan's been here through, like, Marlon going back to when he, what was his rookie year? The Tyler Boyd touchdown?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this has been going.
How about Eric Weddle? Couldn't chase down Tyreek Hill.
We've seen it in the playoffs all the time. They don't have guys who get to the quarterback. They don't have guys who pick off good quarterback. Yes, Russ in December when he's cooked and he throws it to Marlon's belly. Yeah, May early in this game when he was jittery, when he was crapping his pants a little bit, when he's like, "Oh, this is different," and he throws the scud that Marlon. That's great. Who else?
They don't have closers on that side.
They're all first-round talents, but they're so great at this. Jair Alexander, that was a great signing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Your thoughts. Who are you blaming about the game last night and this season, frankly? 410-583-1057. We hear from the people next. Just a heads up, we're going to take these calls through the next segment as well, so we'll try to get to as many of you as possible. 410-583-1057. Let's head out to the phone lines and start with Ron in Owings Mills. Ron, you're on the Fan.
Dr. Weinman, how are you?
Good, sir.
Dr. Lockenfora, Dr. Babalatche. When I have called into the station over the past 18 years, I believe it's been 18 years, it's never been a shtick, Kenny. All I have ever done is try to tell the truth about Mark Turgeon and John Harbaugh. They're nice guys, Ken, but it's always hindsight. It's always after the fact, okay? He does not understand what to do during the game. They can say whatever they want about rotation, okay? That's fine. In the movie Rookie of the Year, at the end of the game, Ken, in Money Time, Henry Rowland Gardner is getting that ball.
Yes.
Okay? Sal Martinella understands that you have to go to your closer. You have to wear them down. It was one outlier where Chad Stedman, okay, got one more guy. It was a movie, Ken.
Yes.
But in bottom line is you go to your guy. Okay, Derrick Henry is your guy. You have a backup quarterback in the game. Okay, I would rather have a 12-year-old kid named Billy Haywood than this coach. Okay? Yeah. He adjusts. He puts the guys in a position. 20 blown leads since 1991, Ken. Double-digit leads in the second half. And last thing I'll leave you with this. Mark Andrews, what the heck was that? That was an absolute joke. That lateral is an absolute joke. I cannot believe he did. That was one of the most dumbest things I've ever seen in my entire life. But we need a
new
time
of year.
Thanks, Ron. He referenced a little
Ron.
Big League and Rookie of the Year. And he meant 2001, not 91.
I came in hot the first Monday of the season and said, Harbs is on notice. Yep. If this stuff continues in the fourth quarter, blow him up, get him out of here, get all those coaches out of here. I'm with it. Just take the GM with him. Just start a true blank slate. PR, everybody who's been a part of this whole thing in this
time. Fire everyone.
No, bro.
I'm going to fire the Orioles GM, the Ravens GM, the
whole
thing.
There is a hubris. There's an arrogance. You guys, you're afraid to say it, but you know it's true. You know it's true. We talk all the time.
I don't think, I won't say
culture,
I think Eric deserves to be fired.
The culture is warped. It's warped from the owner on down, an owner who's never around. And the guy he put in charge was working in the WNBA and was the worst GM in modern NFL history. Who wasn't going to get to run any other NFL teams except for this one.
Let's grab Josh and Severn. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning? Or evening, afternoon? So, look, I'm willing to give DaCosta a little bit longer, but Harbaugh's got to go in my book. The reason I'm willing to give DaCosta longer is that he brought Derrick Henry in, and then Harbaugh decided not to use him. He brought Van Noy in, who last year was really good, and then last night Van Noy 30 yards down the field trying to cover a running back when he's 35 years old. Makes no sense to me. He brought in Owe. He drafted him, and Harbaugh failed to develop him, and as soon as he went to a real head coach, wow, he has 7 sacks. So, like, he brought in Kyle Hamilton, and when Hamilton was here the first couple of years, he wasn't used right, and everyone was saying he was a bust. Now he's this perennial player, so he brought talent in, and the coaching staff has perennially failed to do anything with it. I'm listening if in a year or two from now we still have these issues, but Harbaugh's got to go. It's a joke at this point.
Appreciate the call.
I get what he's saying, but Eric had a really bad offseason.
Awful.
I cannot excuse the offseason that Eric DaCosta had.
A horrible in-season. A horrible in-season.
Yeah, the whole 2025. He played a big role in why this team is where it's at.
410-583-1057. More from the people next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.